Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So Dan Mills, CEO of the Home Builders Association in Greater New Orleans, saying that if manufacturing were to return to the United States, we would need more lumberjacks. And, you know, I'm an amateur lumberjack. I'm probably a little beyond that now. But yeah, but Frank Luntz, who works with the Cato Institute, is a longtime Republican pollster, put a poll out, and he said, ask people this question. America would be better off if more people worked in manufacturing. 80% agreed, and then 20% disagreed. But then he asked the question, I would be better off if I worked in a factory. 73% disagreed with that. So they want somebody else to work in a factory, apparently not them. Yeah. And I was telling somebody that over the weekend, I kind of worked my way through school, busting tires at Firestone and all of that stuff. And I'm 5'0", 100-nothing. And back in those days, not that they're small now, but man, those tires weighed 100 pounds each with the rims and everything else. Having to pick them up and put them on the balancer and all that. I want no part of that at all. I want nothing to do with that. So I went to school, got an education. No, I don't know. Absolutely not. And God bless y'all that do that work. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it at all, but you better watch what you ask for. You might just get it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Finally on that. Thank you, Dave Cohen. Jeff Nowak joins us now, WWL Saints sideline reporter. I don't know if you missed this during the weekend because a lot of stuff was going on. By the way, I should tell you the code word's coming up to win a pair of Jazz Fest tickets. I'll give you more details on that before we go to the first break. But Jeff Nowak joins us, WWL Saints sideline reporter, to talk about the news on Derek Carr. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. It was a weird weekend for sure.
Yeah, it really was. That Kyron Lacy thing, we're going to address that tomorrow with Dr. Judy about mental health. That's just a tragedy. Wow. I don't even know how to begin to talk about that. That's just so sad. Let's talk about the news we heard with Derek Carr. What's going on there? What do we know?
You know, we don't know a ton. We kind of have the information. So he has a shoulder injury. You know, they're trying to figure out what to do with it. Surgery is an option. And that would obviously cost Derek, whether it's part of the season, all of the season. You know, that's to be figured out. But yeah, right now this is kind of just a bombshell that dropped 2 weeks before the draft. It is something the Saints and Derek have been in communication about, or at least part of Derek's team had been in communication about. I think they were probably trying to keep it under wraps, and it kind of just leaked out in an opportune time because, you know, you don't want to be the team going into the draft where everyone knows, hey, this team's probably going to draft a quarterback. Like, there was a lot of interest for the Saints in drafting a quarterback. Now, it's if you're trading with a team and they know you are probably trading up to go get a quarterback, there's usually a premium put on that pick. Like, if you go back through the history of the NFL draft, when a team is trading to go draft a quarterback, the compensation they are sending typically ends up being more, and you just want to avoid being in that scenario. But right now, it's kind of a holding pattern. We're going to figure out, you know, I'm sure over the next few months, where exactly Derek is with that injury. It sounds like it's a lingering injury. It's not something that occurred when he did the Superman dive and fractured his hand last year against the Giants last season. So, yeah, I mean, it is, there are still a lot of unknowns that exist with that injury. We haven't even got it confirmed which shoulder it is. I'd have to imagine it's the throwing shoulder if it's something that could potentially cost him a season, but it's all kind of in flux right now.
See, because what I'm wondering on the timeline on this is if it wasn't a result of when he did the dive. What game was that?
That was week 13. I can't recall.
If you can't recall, good luck with getting me to recall it. But anyway,
yeah, it was the second half of the season.
So if it wasn't a result of that, the question is, did he hurt it doing something else after that, or was he playing with it before? Right.
It doesn't sound like that. It doesn't sound like it was a kind of non-football related thing. If it is, that would obviously open up some avenues for the Saints in terms of, you know, you could put them on the non-football injury list and you might be able to get some money back. But it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like something that's more long-term. My bigger question is, when did the Saints actually know about it? Because I find it really hard to believe that they reworked his entire contract if they were aware of this in advance, right? So I have to imagine it's something that came up over the last few weeks or months, and you're kind of just figuring it out. Because the last thing we'd heard from Kellen Moore, Mickey Loomis, is, oh, we're excited to work with the guy. You know, he's going to be our starting quarterback. Now, you know, who knows? Personally, I don't think this should change a ton in terms of how you view prospects. I've heard a lot of people say, well, they got to take a quarterback at 9 now. I don't agree with that. If you weren't going to take a quarterback at 9 last week, why you shouldn't be changing that now just because you suddenly have a need at quarterback that feels a little bit more immediate. But it is just another in kind of the long saga that's been – this free agent signing of Derek Carr has not gone well from the jump. Look, and it's still not going well.
And the Saints have not said a lot about this other than Ian Rappaport's report, correct?
Yeah, this is the time of year where you don't hear a ton from anyone affiliated with the team, right? We'll hear from Mickey Loomis prior to the draft. So, you know, the April 24th is the first round of the draft. We'll usually hear from him the day before. So I'm sure he'll get a lot of questions about it then. I wouldn't anticipate we get a ton of information. But no, right now, all the information coming out is from, you know, secondary sources.
So to be clear, we've not heard anything from the Saints about Derek Carr. I'm just want to make sure I'm getting my stuff dotted and crossed and all that stuff and everything. So going back to the restructuring of the contract, and I'm just trying to piece together the timeline here. If the Saints didn't know about it, then Derek Carr did, or did Derek Carr know about it? Or if it was not a non-football-related injury, then why did the Saints not know about it if it was an ongoing shoulder injury? You see what I'm trying to piece together here, Jeff? And I'm not alleging anything. I'm just trying to understand the timeline on it.
Yeah, that's the biggest question, right, is when did this information become available? When did, you know, it get communicated? And that's just not something we know right now. I'm sure as we go forward and we'll find out, you know, if this is something that's going to require surgery, I don't think it's going to take a long time to make that decision, right? But you'd want to get that done. And that's kind of the thing. Like, if you have an injury, it's not dissimilar, it feels like, to the Michael Thomas situation a few years ago, where it's like, well, he had an ankle injury, and then that surgery could have been done right after the season, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And it kind of got, you know, it lingered. He ended up showing up for minicamp and then left and had the surgery, and then it cost him an entire season. And, you know, it's like, well, why wasn't this done 3 months ago? Because that just speeds up your timeline. So, you know, it's a strange thing, especially for someone who does have that fully guaranteed contract, right? If it's so – I don't know. I think it's kind of a situation where there's a lot of people who don't like Derek Carr and didn't want Derek Carr to be the quarterback anyway, so we're all just kind of assuming, well, he might need surgery, so mm-hmm. We're going to take that one step further and say, oh, he's having surgery. We don't know. Like, this could be something that they can work through and he can come back and be healthy and able to play. And then we'll all be kind of looking back on this in a few months and like, well, that was a weird couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, it's all fresh and we're not really sure. I will say, you know, how the Saints operate in the draft will be pretty telling of how they view this injury, because if they are very aggressive and go up and get a guy, then, you know, I think that's pretty telling.
But when it comes to, and I'm not talking about Derek Carr here specifically, but generally speaking, even with guaranteed money, there are things contractually that a player can't do, right, in the offseason? Or am I making that up?
No, I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's language written into that contract. I don't have it in front of me that, you know, if you do something egregious and, you know, you probably lose some of that guaranteed money. It doesn't sound like that's the case. Like, I don't think he got hurt skiing or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, bungee jumping, doing surfing, anything like that. Usually they got riders against that, I thought, in the contracts.
Yeah, I imagine there are. And if that's the case, I'm sure the Saints will do what they can to get the money back. I just don't think that's what's going on here.
I think, in a way, well, let me ask the question this way, Jeff. If big giant if, right? If Derek Carr does not play this season, at that point, I think the Saints and Derek Carr definitely need to part ways, right? And then you look to see the quarterback of the future or not?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't – if Derek's out for this season, right, yeah. I would be surprised if we see him again in a Saints uniform. It just wouldn't make a ton of sense.
No.
Because you are going to have to figure out the path beyond him this year anyway. Or if you do not and you have no solution, then you probably had a pretty terrible season.
And you'd have a 36-year-old quarterback about 36. I don't know when his birthday is exactly. But you'd have a 36-year-old quarterback coming back after a season out off of an injury, right? So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense either.
And you would be in a position most likely where you have some ammunition to go draft a pretty high-end quarterback. Without naming any names, so
I like the way you clean it up in a pretty enviable position. That was very nice. That was very tactfully done.
If Derek didn't play and you did have success, it's probably because the quarterback you put in there had a good year. So, and you probably feel pretty good about that. So I think that this is very possibly the end of the Saints Derek Carr marriage. And if it is, then it will go down as one of the least successful free agent signings in the franchise's history. And that's a funny way to put it.
You think you know each other, and then you don't know each other. And then before you know it, you've gone your different ways. And no, I'm just kidding. Let's take a break. We'll pick it up here when we come back. When it comes to, you know, the joke about the kid that gets the box of horse manure and says, "Hey, I got a pony for Christmas." I'm kind of like that guy, right? So I'm hoping that I don't want Derek Carr to be injured. That's not the point. But if this does happen, well, maybe because I wouldn't, and I'll get your thoughts on this when we come back. I wouldn't jump to get a quarterback this year. I'd wait to see what we have in Spencer Rattler to see if he is the guy or could be the guy, or maybe somebody in a later round. We'll talk about that, Jeff, as well, because next year, as I understand it, is the quarterback year. We're talking with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, about that report. Derek Carr could miss the entire 2025 season, and if that happens, what happens then? Here you go. You ready to go to a party? Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is Fairgrounds. Fairgrounds. And I believe a drop-down menu comes down, so you don't have to worry about spelling or anything. It's Fairgrounds. Now go to WWL.com/contest. Register to win. Is that easy? Don't miss your chance to win. All you have to do is listen at 9 o'clock, noon, 3 and 6 o'clock for the Jazz Fest Code Word of the Day to see amazing artists like Pearl Jam, Dave Matthews Band, John Fogerty, Lil Weezy, and yeah, I'm not cool, and The Roots, Casey Musgrave, Harry Connick Jr., and more. Good luck, happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. Today's word, Fairgrounds. Back in a flash, WWL. .928 on this Monday morning, talking to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and host of the Black and Gold podcast, about reports Derek Carr can miss the 2025 season. Very, very few details available on this. But, Jeff, let me go to the text line, all right? We got the Oak Corner Jeweler talking text line, 504-260-1870. If you want to text in any questions, no texting and driving, please.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And text and data message rates may apply. Somebody said, I'm just reading the text, okay? What about using Taysom Hill again as quarterback? Maybe Coach Moore being a quarterback in college could help Taysom develop in a good quarterback. And I'll just add that Taysom Hill's 34 years old. Go ahead.
Well, honestly, I actually think that's not the craziest idea out there, in part because
but for a season.
Taysom Hill. He's not your quarterback of the future. He's not a guy you're developing, right? He's 34 years old. But, I mean, if you get to the point this season where Derek can't play, you really don't like any of the options available in the draft, say Spencer Rattler just does not show what you need him to show, why not throw Taysom out there?
My only concern, and I'm not trying to make fun of this texter at all, my concern is that you lose him at the other positions, and who's going to take his place there?
No one, because no one can play that position. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, can Taysom play that position, mm-hmm. right? Like, what is the reason we're talking about? Well, I mean, he tore his knee up doing that job. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if you can say, well, if we don't use him at the quarterback position, we can use him as whatever else, because, I don't know, he can't stay healthy doing that. I actually mm-hmm. think he would have a better chance to stay healthy playing in a pocket, you
That's
know, and only running when it makes sense.
Fair
but,
point.
And I kind of look at it like, hey, what does Jalen Hurts do that Taysom Hill technically can't do? Like, if you wanted to run a similar offense, you could. If you want a tush-push, who better to run the tush-push than Taysom Hill?
So durability being the only question there, right, with age?
Yeah, sure. But again, this is a one-year project mm-hmm. that you're saying, hey, we'll see what we can get done this year. So I don't think it's a crazy idea at all, honestly. I think.
So you're saying like a used car, just drive him till it breaks and then, you know, move on. That's what you're saying?
Well, I mean, you're paying him, right? You're paying him, especially if you feel like he's not going to be able to come back and do the Taysom Hill things that we've all grown accustomed to. What is his role going to be anyway? Mm-hmm.
Well, he does have the rest of his life to live, but that's a different conversation. Let's talk about this. Please ask your guest, who is Jeff Nowak, by the way, why people dislike Derek Carr. I don't understand this. I know that there are things called Q factors and likability and so forth, and I know there are people in life. I had a morning show partner, for example, that he was just the kind of person where back in the day I could walk in a room and say something. Everybody laughed. He walked in. Everybody got offended. Some people are just perceived differently. Give me your take on Derek Carr and his career and people liking him, not liking him.
Yeah, I think it's a little irrational, you know, like and I deal with, you know, the toxicity on social media and I see all that. And so that's what I base it on. But yeah, I just think, hey, when you sign a big free agent contract and you walk in the door, the expectation is going to be, hey, you elevate this team beyond what we could expect from an Andy Dalton or somebody else just kind of showing up. If you don't have to be likable if you go out there and win games.
That is a great point, because you know what? If Derek Carr came in and played like Drew Brees or like that elite-level quarterback, everybody would love Derek Carr.
Yeah, and so, you know, there was the on-field blow-ups. He's yelling at Chris Olave. He's getting into fights with Eric McCoy. These are fan favorites. It's not going to go over well. I think a lot of it is just personality-based and feeling-based. He hasn't played that badly. That's kind of the dissonance that we have of, like, what is your expectations of a guy versus, like, what do you need him to do to like him? And he has a winning record as a Saints quarterback. I think if you went on the street and said, what do you think Derek Carr's record is as Saints starting quarterback? You would get these crazy, crazy numbers. He's got a winning record as a Saints quarterback.
What is his record? Do you know? Do you have it in front of you?
Well, they were 9-8 in his first year, so there's the winning record. And then he went 5-5 last year, so the math there is 14-13. Now, the health has been a problem, right? You know, even the 9-8 season, it was marred by a shoulder injury, and, you know, it was constantly like, well, would he have been playing better if he sat down for a few games? Last year, obviously, he dealt with the oblique injury, and then, you know, the Superman dive, which I know didn't, you know, it was kind of a guy pressing a little too much mm-hmm. to to get it, you know, to be a hero, and then he ended up hurting himself and costing him the final three games. And so I don't know. Like, I think it is a lot of, like, bad timing. He was connected to Dennis Allen, a figure that not a lot of people were a huge fan of, and so he's kind of viewed as like an extension of DA. So he's not going to be that kind of new era that people were hoping for. I think people are just fed up of missing the playoffs more than anything else.
And who he's following.
He brought in.
And who he followed, that's part of it, too. I mean, let's face it, that's a tough act to follow, Drew Brees. So let me talk
about... Yeah, but Jameis followed Drew Brees, and no one hates Jameis the way they hate Derek Carr.
I didn't think about Jameis. I forgot about him. Yeah, that's true, too. And that might go to Q factor and likability. I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about the draft and quarterbacks. To me, this is not the year you're going to sell a house straight up to draft a quarterback. If anything, you use this opportunity to see what Spencer Rattler has to offer. Thoughts?
Yeah, you know, if it was Cam Ward you were trading up for, I would feel a little differently. I think Cam Ward is, you know, probably a star quarterback to some extent. I don't think, you know, you kind of go back to last year and say, hey, would he have been in the top three? Maybe he goes ahead of Drake May. But, no, I mean, I think you just kind of got to stand pat and see what happens.
So tell me about the idea behind that, Jeff, was tell me about next year's quarterback class.
Yeah, well, next year you have, you know, obviously Arch Manning's in that class. He's going to be the guy everyone's talking about. We'll see how he plays in the extended run. He's going to be the starter at Texas. And you have Nico. I am a Leva. I don't know how to say his name, but he's in all sorts
the
of
guy
weird
from Tennessee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Eco, the guy from Tennessee. That's how I say it.
Yeah, there you go. And then obviously Drew Allar over at Penn State. You got Garrett Nussmeier, who I think Garrett's going to start climbing up draft boards throughout the course of this season. I think he's a very pro-ready guy. It's interesting. I think you're going to have – it's going to look a little bit more like last year in terms of you're going to have probably the top two or three picks be quarterbacks than this year, where I think there's really only one first-round quarterback and then some guys that people are going to reach for, like a Jackson Dart. Or Shedeur Sanders. You know, I know a lot of people like Shedeur Sanders. I just kind of feel like if his name was, you know, Shedeur Johnson, we would be talking about him as a third round pick. Mm-hmm. And because he's got the Deion Sanders hype, that's why we're talking about him. He's a good quarterback.
He got the Deion Sanders DNA too. Don't forget that.
Yeah, no, but he's. I wouldn't say he's a premier athlete at the quarterback position.
Okay.
You know, I just think I think he's probably a mid-tier quarterback prospect that we're kind of hyping up a little bit more than some of these other guys. Tyler Shuck out of Louisville is an interesting name. The Saints did have him in for a workout on Friday, right around the same time that the Derek Carr news is breaking, which is kind of interesting. The thing with him, though, is he's older than Trevor Lawrence. He's 25 years old coming out of college. So you better be confident on him because he's not a guy that you can sit – I mean, if you say, hey, we want to develop him for a couple of years, well – first game he starts, he's going to be 28 years old. That's not ideal. So you better be confident on him if you're going with him. But he is kind of a more pro-ready guy than some of these other players, as he should be. He was in college for 7 years, it seems like. Quinn Ewers out of Texas is interesting. You know, I think Jackson Dart's a guy that I would consider at 40, probably not at number nine. What feels potentially there is the Saints see someone slipping toward the back of the first round and they trade up from 40 to go get him. But they have to be careful because, you know, with this Derek Carr injury, right? Like, I think what you can say about Derek Carr is he would have led you to enough wins that you probably weren't going to be picking in the top five, right? Like, that's kind of where he is, where he elevates you as a team. Without that in the equation, you could very well, I mean, be picking in the top five. So any future picks you trade, you have to be strongly considering the fact that this could be a top five pick. Or if you're trading a second round pick in 2026, this could be the number 38 pick in the draft, or the number 35 pick in the draft. Like, you can't be just flippantly sending out future picks when you don't know where you're going to turn at quarterback.
That's a great observation. You don't know how valuable that's going to be. But let me say this before we let you go, and we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but what will be interesting politically is if the Saints are in a position to draft Arch Manning, well, then you got to go back to 2004 with Eli, right? And the Chargers?
So you think he's going to say he won't play in New Orleans?
I'm just saying that'd be a tough spot, you know, for the Mannings to say that they didn't want him to play in New Orleans. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think that would. I think there's some places that maybe he would be like, oh, he doesn't want to go play in you know, Jacksonville or something like mm-hmm. that. You know, I don't think they're going to have a hard time getting Arch to come back to New Orleans.
I hope not. But let's, you know, like we're getting way, way ahead of ourselves. I just find it interesting to think of when you go back and remember what happened in 04. That's all.
Sure, sure. But that's exceedingly rare. I don't know if it's happened since then.
Tell me about the black. Well, but it's the same family, same people. That's why I said that.
Sure,
about the Black and Gold podcast. What's coming up? What are you guys doing?
Well, we're going to be talking a lot about Derek Carr this week. We're going to have, you know, one more mock draft where I think we're both gonna find a quarterback somewhere. So we'll be doing a lot of that. That's really what we're gonna be talking about nonstop over the next 12 days, is 10 days, is okay, what's going on with the draft? Hopefully we can turn over a few rocks and get some more information on Derek Carr's injury and where that all stands. But yeah, me and Steve Geller are gonna be diving headfirst into the draft over the next 2 weeks for sure.
And where do we find that?
Anywhere you get your podcasts. The Odyssey app, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. You can also check out the video version of the podcast at WWL Sports on YouTube.
Thank you, Jeff Nowak. A pleasure as always. WWL Saints sideline reporter, host of the Inside Black and Gold podcast with Steve Geller. We're going to talk, do a season-ending review of the Pelicans with Ali Cosell when we come back. 9:40, call it 20 till 10. Traffic now, WWL. All you have to do is listen at 9 o'clock, noon, 3, and 6. We'll give you the Jazz Fest code word of the day to see amazing artists like Pearl Jam, Dave Matthews Band, John Fogerty, Louisiana Roots, Casey Musgrave, Harry Connick Jr., and more. Good luck. Happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. It was way back in October, man. It was like a new marriage or something going on, a honeymoon, and the Pelicans were getting ready to tip off the season. We were all excited and everything else, and then it didn't turn out so well. Ali Cosell joins us now, our friend, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. How you doing, Ali?
Good morning, Tommy. Like you, I'm probably glad that it's over.
Yeah.
The season was rough, wasn't it?
It was, and you know what's strange about that is it seemed like it was over before the All-Star break, and that's, I think, what made it seem so long.
Yeah, without that look, I mean, to your point, I think they began the season, was it, in the first 34 games or 5-29, something along those lines, right? So back then we were already looking, you know, to the summer, the future, draft picks, all those things. The things you don't want to think about that early in the season.
So where did the ship begin to go off course, steer toward the iceberg?
Yeah, without a doubt, you can start with the injuries, but I'm going to go back to the summer where they made that trade for DeJounte Murray, let a lot of depth go that was very much pertinent to last year's 49-win team, right? You lost Larry Nance, Dyson Daniels, Jonas Valanciunas, Najee Marshall. All these guys that were tough were able to fill in when other guys ahead of them were hurt. Mm-hmm. You didn't have them here this year. So when the injury struck, and invariably it seems like every year it does here in New Orleans, Zion went on to miss, 50 games? Herb Jones, 60. Even Trey Murphy missed about 30 games. And, of course, the guy you traded for, DeJounte Murray, when you let that depth go, you got him back, or you brought him in, and he only played 30 games. So,
let me jump in for a second here. Let me jump in for 1 second. So let me ask you this, brah. If you had it to do all over again, knowing how it was going to turn out, would you have not made the DeJounte Murray trade? Of course, there's no way the Pelicans would have known this. I'm just saying.
Look, we all know that they needed a point guard to find over the summer. Last year, the reason they won 49 games and not more was simply because they couldn't close out games. Mm-hmm. You didn't have somebody that could run the offense, get you good shots, and win, right, those close games. I think they went 1-7 in three-point games a couple of seasons ago, so you needed to bring him in. But to your point, Tommy, I don't think he was the best point guard, right? If you look overall body of work, he's kind of mediocre. Games play has never been an issue. 78 games a couple of years ago in Atlanta, so that was never an issue. But look, he's not known as a winner, one of these top-tier guards. So you trade a lot of depth for a guy that you're hoping could, you know, steer the ship in the right direction, but never even got a chance to see it. But there were questions before that all went down negatively.
So injuries, everybody gets injuries. Everybody says you can't blame injuries, but the team was hit hard by injuries. I mean, really.
It was just ridiculous. I've already read through the, you know, how many you've games were missed by basically your starters, right? The key guys.
Tim tells me eight players available yesterday.
Yeah, you finish the season with only eight players available. And look, you have three of your top guys, season-ending injuries, right? DeJounte Murray, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones. You're just not going to win many games. You're not going to be an over 500 team when you sustain this many injuries, regardless of coaching, GM, anything.
So where do we go from here?
Well, it sounds like there's going to be a change made. Rumors started swirling, honestly, months ago. I started hearing about there's going to be a big change coming. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like it was going to be something bigger than just a coaching change. And of course, these last week or so, rumors have really fired up that David Griffin, they're going to replace him. He's going to be let go. He's been here 6 years. Only two of those 6 years, you made the playoffs, and you tied your ship to basically a tandem that never worked, right? Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram's already gone. Remains to be seen what happens with Zion. But look, Zion hasn't even played in half of the games he potentially could have in a New Orleans Pelicans uniform. So that's a problem. So, therefore, you got to make a change, right? Injuries, you can only blame so much on, but somebody has to be responsible for having those guys here regardless. So, by all accounts, David Griffin, he's going to be
late. Don't get rid of me yet. Don't get rid of me, Ollie. Hang on. We're good.
Not you.
Yeah, hang on a second. And David Griffin is a tremendously nice man. He really is. You know that. To talk to him is a very personable guy. Very genuine guy, but it is a results-based business. So if not him, who?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? Look, he did a lot of good here. He started, I think, the ball training the right way opposed to what Dell Demps did here, right? Invested in the practice facility, got really built up the G League team to where it's like a good farm system. You're getting in this young town that's usable. And, of course, analytics department really built that all up. So he did a lot of good things. And so you want to bring in somebody that's going to be able to carry that torch, keep it going, because that's where the NBA today is, right? Stats play a big part of it, right? Being able to find needles in the haystack, how you play, right? You look at the Boston Celtics. They upped their three-point attempts even more from just a year ago because they know that's how you win in the game. That's what analytics point to. So I don't know who that would be, but it doesn't sound like it would be Joe Dumars. I know the rumor's been swirling out there. It could be him. I'm not buying it. He was in contention 6 years ago, and he never made the list of finalists that David Griffin was on, Trajan Langdon. So I don't think if they didn't hire Joe Dumars or even give serious consideration to the ownership group 6 years ago, they won't do it again. So I think it's going to be somebody that's relatively unknown, somebody from a successful organization, whether it's the Thunder, Celtics, you name it, but bring in somebody like that.
Injuries, there's nothing you can do about that. I mean, it just happens, right? Or is there?
Yeah. Injuries definitely happen, Tommy, but like I said, you have to have either one, depth to sustain, and two, you have somebody, you know, players that you can rely on. And that's been a problem here in New Orleans, right? Like I said, Zion and Brandon Ingram, we've never been able to rely on. Only 1 year did I think both of them play about 60 games, and that was when Stan Van Gundy was here. That's not good enough in 6 years.
Ollie Cosell, thank you, man. A pleasure as always. I appreciate it. An NBA-credentialed writer covering the Pelicans and season finally over, although, as we said, it seemed like it was over before the All-Star break. 9:52, we'll take a break. Come back, find out what Newell's got planned for us today here on WWL.